How many of you got acquainted this week with Tinkerbell? No, I don't mean the Disney character. I mean the dog. Tinkerbell. Did you hear about Tinkerbell this week? Tinkerbell was in Waterford Township in Michigan, and Tinkerbell's owner had just set up this table-like place, and Tinkerbell was on the table when a 70-mile-an-hour wind came by, and Tinkerbell literally disappeared. Can you imagine? Okay, Tinkerbell's only a 6-pound chihuahua. I understand that. But still, just sitting there and the dog is gone. I'm not making this up. Tinkerbell's owner is named Dorothy. I didn't make it up. It's true. Tinkerbell was found in the woods about a mile away, dirty, hungry, a few days later, but basically unharmed. Can you imagine? Blown away, literally. It's unbelievable. Tinkerbell survived that. But the Holy Spirit works that way sometimes too. We're told in John chapter 3, verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. I'm ready to be blown away with the Spirit, aren't you? Even if I'm not a 6-pound chihuahua, some people think so, but it's not true. In either case, I'm tiny in the Lord's army, and you know, he's got big plans. I expect we're going to get blown away by what's going on. The disciples were kind of the same way, you know? After the crucifixion, where were they? In the upper room, hiding out, right? Scared for fear of the Jews, right? They were hiding out. They were not prepared for what was going on. Jesus met with them over the next 40 days and told them, get ready, get ready, get ready. And so they prayed for 10 days, you know? 10 days. And on the day of Pentecost, the mighty rushing wind came. And I still kind of half think, even though they were preparing for it, even though they spent a lot of time praying and getting ready, I still half think that they were like Tinkerbell. Unprepared when the big wind came and took them away. Let's take a look at it. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. Acts chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1. Here they were, day after day, praying, coming close to one another, coming close to God, allowing God to work in their lives, to change who they were, to make them new men and new women for Christ, allowing God to work in their lives. 10 days, worshiping, spending time with God, praying. Chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, how was that? Suddenly, this was not just by slow degrees. Okay, we're warming up to this. We're getting ready for it. Here it comes. Okay, here we go. But this was suddenly. Wonder how Tinkerbell felt. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Whoa! Just suddenly. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing, mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. I have the feeling these guys, as they were praying, yes, they knew God was going to do something. Yes, they understood that God was about to make something happen. But this was sudden. This was powerful. This was mighty. This was unexpected. So while they're there, while they're doing their worship, suddenly the Holy Spirit moves on them and witnessing breaks out. I want you to notice that that's what happened, because in verse 2, the Holy Spirit comes, and by verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. All these people were there, and God moved in the middle of their worship, and pow, they're out there in a strange place doing strange things. Remember why they had first gathered in the upper room? For fear of the Jews, right? And now suddenly they're out in the square, in the temple, going around telling others of God. That's a huge difference, a huge change that came over them. Can you imagine it? 1 minute, they're praying, they're worshiping. The next minute, the result of the Holy Spirit coming on them, they were out witnessing. And it seems to have happened a lot to the disciples in the book of Acts. 1 minute they'd be gathering together to do something for the church. The next minute, the church is doing something for the world. It's amazing. Take a look again. Chapter 3, very next chapter. What's happening? Verse 1, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. They were going up to pray. They were going up to worship. They were going up to do what they do when they follow God, right? Going to the temple, worshiping. That's what you do when you love God, right? That's why you're here in this place today. And so that's what Peter and John were about to do. And what happened? Suddenly, all kinds of things changed. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John, verse 3, about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. Who? The guy thinks, hey, I'm going to get something. I'm going to get an offering. I'm going to get some money. Right in the middle of his busy, normal life, bam, God jumps in. God makes a difference. God breaks in and witnessing breaks out. It's awesome. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Whew, can you imagine saying these next words? Oh, I'd be nervous, man. What if it didn't happen? What if nothing? What if God didn't really want me to do this? What if this wasn't the right time, the right guy, the right place, the right day, the right era, the right world? Who knows? Maybe I had it wrong. Maybe it isn't me that's supposed to do this. Maybe I'm too sinful. Maybe I can't do this. Maybe. Forget the maybes. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Can you imagine saying that to somebody? We have that opportunity. Maybe not physically, but we have that opportunity spiritually. There are so many lame people waiting to hear the name of Jesus from those who know him. In the middle of their worship, in the middle of the workaday life, Jesus breaks in and witnessing breaks out. Think about that. Just in the middle of what's going on, witnessing takes place. It happens again. And we talked about it last week, Acts chapter 6. Are you with me? Acts chapter 6. I need to hear those pages turning. Acts chapter 6. You remember from last week, verse 1, now in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists. I'm getting it all wrong today, huh? Just can't seem to get my tongue wrapped around it. Called the wrong song. Man, I got to get this together here. Because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. And so they call to serve seven men, right? And what's their service? What are they supposed to do? Serve tables, remember? They're supposed to serve tables. They're supposed to be deacons. They're supposed to be working for the church, doing church work, supposed to be focusing on that. And what happens? In the middle of that work, in the middle of it, Stephen, full of the Holy Ghost, what happens? He does tremendous things. Verse 8, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Praise the Lord. In the middle of us being good Christians, doing our thing, keeping Sabbath, not eating unclean foods, paying our tithe, in the middle of this, God can break in. God can make something happen. God can make a witness that breaks out and shows the world what He is all about. Isn't it awesome how God can use you? Happened with Jesus a lot too. Perhaps you remember Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Now he was teaching, verse 10. You with me? Luke chapter 13, verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues when? On the Sabbath day, he's just preaching a sermon. Can you imagine it if it were today? Just preaching, just going along. Doing Sabbath like we always do. Good message, okay. I'm sure Jesus had a good message. But something else was about to happen. Something was about to bust loose. And behold, verse 11, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, He called her to Him. What did He do? He called her. He called her and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. Woo! Wouldn't that shake up a Sabbath morning service? Huh? Yeah. I'm telling you, stuff happening. How many people in Lakeland are burdened today? How many people today need to be loosed from their burden? Yes, this morning, while we are here, people in Lakeland carrying burdens. Are we burdened for them? Are we burdened for Lakeland? Something powerful happening here. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. I think you remember this one. Mark chapter 6. Jesus feeds the 5,000. But how does it happen? Then the apostles, verse 30. Then the apostles, verse 30, are you with me? Mark chapter 6, verse 30. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. Whew, we need rest. We need to pull back a little bit, calm down, take it easy, rest, recuperate, regenerate, get ready for the next wave. But Jesus couldn't let it be with that. He couldn't let that go. And so they had the feeding of the 5,000 when they needed rest. Right in the middle of their busy lives, the day they needed rest the most, they're called on to go out and feed 5,000 from a few loaves and a couple of fish. How does that happen? How does that happen? How does witnessing break out in the middle of a rest day? Wait for it. How does that happen? Are we called to do the same? Are we called to do the same? Sometimes to give up ourselves for others? Are we called to serve? Is that what we're all about? I want you to take your bulletin and look at the bottom announcement on the inside page there. Inside, just the very last announcement on the inside there. Inside, bottom one, the descent of the Holy Spirit. Do you see it? Do you see that one? The inside, see, I'm looking at the outside there. The inside. The descent of the Holy Spirit upon the church is looked forward to when? As in the future, we look at it like it's a long way off. We talk about the latter rain, don't we? We talk about these things and we tend to place ourselves between the early rain of the Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, and the latter rain that's coming way in the future. And we're right in the middle. Whoo! Glad we don't have to have our daily routine busted into. But it is the what? Privilege, the privilege of the church to have it now. Seek for it, pray for it. Believe for it. We must have it. Do you think the disciples would have gone out to do the preaching in every language that was represented there had they not had the Holy Spirit? Definitely not. Would God have broken in and witnessing broken out if it hadn't been for the Holy Spirit? It is the privilege of the church to have it now. Seek for it, pray for it, believe for it. We must have it. Is it way, way off in the future? Someday we'll have the latter rain? Is that what it's all about? No, this says heaven is waiting to bestow it. Heaven is waiting for you and I. We are called to do this today. The Great Commission was not someday. Go ye into all the world. The Great Commission was go ye. Not someday. Right now. Go. God has placed you in Lakeland. Are we going? Are we ready for witnessing to break out? Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. If you don't mind, I'm going to read from a new translation here. A new version, probably, would be even better to say. Acts chapter 16. Are you with me? Follow along. Make sure this makes sense to you. Acts chapter 16, and we will be reading verses 9 and 10. Acts 16, 9 and 10. Are you with me? And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Lakeland stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Lakeland and help us." That's what my Bible says. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Lakeland, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. It is so awesome. The Lord has called us here. He's given us a work to do. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. I wonder if there's folks here who might believe in Revelation chapter 14. I'm sure there are. Verse 6. Revelation chapter 14, verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell in Lakeland. That's what my Bible says. Doesn't yours? Absolutely. How many of you remember our folders? Some of you took some home. How are we doing with those? We have a report about some of these. Some of these are reaching out to new friends in Lakeland. Elder Taylor, what's happening with these? Have you heard about any of these from folks who've come?
We had a lady, Georgia Shelter. Anyone have that name? Anyone remember that name?
Georgia. Who has Georgia? Shelter? Maybe not here right now.
Shelter? Well, anyway, the lady came to the food pantry, and she was rejoicing. She said, "I got some of the most beautiful cards and letters from your churches, and I'm coming."
Beautiful, isn't it? Got the most beautiful cards and letters. Folks, as we reach out, God is in the midst. God is here. Yes, it's feeble efforts we have, but God is in the midst. He's moving in Lakeland. Things are happening right here as God breaks out in witnessing. It's an awesome thing to see what's going on. God moving in our world. And it's not always when we have a convenient season. Randy Thomas is still waiting for somebody to break into his world. Who can take up the challenge? Randy is waiting. It's not always when it's good for us. It's not always when it's convenient for us. 2 Timothy. Wow, Randy already disappeared. Woohoo! That's a good thing. Okay. Praise the Lord, you got it now. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. What does that mean? When it's convenient for you and when it's not. Because we never know when God is going to break in. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. God is calling us to work for Lakeland. And it can be anything that we do. All of us can be busy with that. Some of the things that we think have no chance to bust out in witnessing. All right. Honesty check. Are you ready? How many of you can think, I could get in trouble here real easy. I'm treading carefully. How many of you can think of something more boring than Wednesday night prayer meeting? That's what I was afraid of. None of you. All right, some go and they enjoy it. Praise the Lord. Oh, is that what it is? Okay, all right. Searching, trying desperately to find anything more boring, right? Wednesday night prayer meeting. Is there anything else more designed to minister to our own people, to work inside, to be just us, for us, about us, to help us? And yet God is busting in. God is making a difference. Ellen, where's Ellen? What's going on in your nursing home?
The second Saturday of each month, we'll be going in to witness and sing to the customers who live there.
We're going into a nursing home. Who's going in?
Everyone who comes to prayer meeting.
The prayer meeting group. The prayer meeting group got together and decided, hey, we need to put this into practice. And now it's happening. We're going in to tell them the love of the Lord. Witnessing, busting out from the most unlikely places.
And there's one that's going that really can't sing, so she'd like a couple others to come along and cover me up.
God has His work going forth. All of us can be a part of it. All of us need to be looking in that direction. How about you? How are you busting out? How is the Lord touching your life? Is the Spirit coming down as a mighty rushing wind for you, Tinkerbell? He wants to blow you away in your personal life. Have you thought of some way that you can reach out to Lakeland? Bible prophecy made simple, July 18 is one way that we can do that. But there's a thousand ways, gobs of things that we can do. Writing letters, going to nursing homes, all kinds of things God is using right now, and He can use you too. And He can use your ministry. As the nominating committee continues its work, we will be asking the leaders of every department, every ministry, every part of our church, find some way that what you do for this church is not just for this church, but has an outreach that goes out to Lakeland, that makes a difference in our community, and is not just all about us, but reaches out to the world. Every leader will be asked that same question, because we have a great commission. We are the people who have the last day message, and it's time we start focusing on giving that message and making it a priority of everything we do in our church. Because apparently it was a priority to Jesus. Because that was what He thought so important, it would be among the last things that He said to His disciples. That's pretty powerful. And so, yes, we want to do the things as deacons that we've always done for our church. But we want to expand. We want to build. We want to break out. in witnessing. And I invite you to break out in your own witness. And as we continue this year, I'll give you other opportunities to break out, to do things for the Lord. I still have more folders. Randy's gone, but I got more. And it's not too late. We'll still be going to the nursing home. You can sing quietly. It'll be all right. And there's other things that are happening. The prison ministry. Can you imagine people that we cannot reach other than by going to them because they can't come here? How do we get the gospel to them but that we go and break in? Almost said that. We got to get there. We got to get there. We got to touch lives with this gospel. The last day message, the descent of the Holy Spirit is looked forward to as in the future, but it is the privilege of the church to have it now. Seek for it. Pray for it. Heaven is waiting, waiting to bestow it right now. Are you ready, Tinkerbell? God is waiting. I invite you to be ready this week to consider how you can make a difference, how you can allow the Lord to be blowing you away. How is the Lord wanting to send that rushing, mighty wind into your life to make a difference for Lakeland?